Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. I'm up in the captain's chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio on the magical Isle of Vashon. It is an absolutely beautiful autumn day here. The maple trees are red, and the trees that go yellow are yellow, and it is just a splendid day. My greetings today go out to, in particular, all of the people who came to the memorial service for my friend Jay. And I'm going to talk about that memorial service a little bit because it had some aspects to it for which I did not know were going to happen. I'm always ready, semper paratus. But I will talk a little bit about it because it affected me, and I believe that it affected some other people in a very significant way. So my greetings today go out. There were probably 50, 60 people that came to the memorial service. And my greetings in particular go out to Raina, Jay's widow, and to all of the people who were there. The binnacle list today has one sad piece for me, and that is that the captain that I relieved in my much-loved Northwind died during the week, Captain Wendell Driggers. And I am eternally and forever grateful to him because he handed over to me an incredibly competent, experienced, trained, and enthusiastic crew. A crew that never let me down in the 2 years that I commanded them. And a crew of whom I asked a great deal. Never once was I disappointed in them. And that included a deployment to Antarctica. It included a time as the commander of the patrol for America's Cup. That included taking her up into the Great Lakes for a winter that lasted much longer than any of us thought would. All of these things happened, and the crew that I inherited from Wendell was all of those things, and then even more. Oh, I also took her to Gitmo for training with the Navy. That was an experience and a half. So, well done, Captain, and thank you. In other parts of the binnacle list, my friends Pam and Cece continue to improve after some pretty traumatic surgical and other kinds of intervention. In my own case, short but pithy report there, is that Mr. Foley is bobbing along in the wake. I intend that Mr. Foley never become part of my life again, except in memory. And for all of Captain Joe's people who remain on the binnacle list and who continue to improve, once again, it is my wish, my hope, my desire, and my command that each of you follow the instructions of your medical practitioner so that you will leave the binnacle list and return to full duty in the approved fashion. I will say that Captain Driggers, who I relieved in my much-loved Northwind, was three Academy classes senior to me, which put him well up into his 90s, and so I hope that his crossing was an easy one. The business of memorial services is always a difficult one for me. And it is a difficult one for me because when I go to one for someone for whom I harbored a great deal of affection, regard, and respect, which is the case with Jay, I always feel compelled to make remarks. I had asked Raina if I could make remarks, and she, in particular, asked me to do that. What I didn't know, and before I get into the what I didn't know, what I did know was that in the last year of his life, Jay and I had had several conversations about our service in Vietnam. Jay was an infantry officer. He had been a platoon leader and a company commander in the 1st Infantry Division up in I Corps. And looking at his DD-214, I realized that he was there the year after I was. My Ingham, had provided gunfire support to troops from the 1st Infantry Division up in I Corps during the period that I served in her. So we had some time, and I believe that I may be, if not the only person, one of the few people that Jay had talked about some of this. What I did not know until I got to their home for the memorial service, parenthetical insertion here, it was raining gently and softly, and I told a story about how for Mary R's funeral, it was also raining warmly and softly, and I took that as a gift from her, because for a sailor, that is a freshwater washdown. And it was the same thing with Jay. And I said, now Jay is giving us this gift. End of parenthetical insertion. So I went up to the table where Raina had assembled several panels in which she described Jay's life. And there was one there that was devoted to and dedicated to his service in Vietnam as a straight leg infantry officer. And I looked at the collection on the table, and there was a Bronze Star and an Air Medal and a Purple Heart and the combat infantry badge. Now, one does not get the Purple Heart without having suffered. So I looked for the citations, and the citations themselves were not there. But what I did not know until I talked to Raina later was that Jay had kept all of these decorations, Bronze Star, Air Medal, Purple Heart, Combat Infantry Badge, in a box. And he never brought them out. And it wasn't until after his death that Raina brought them out and realized what was there. But she did not know the significance of, in particular, the award of the Bronze Star. I had my remarks set in my mind, and I was going to talk about Jay's qualities of compassion and kindness and leadership, and I was going to touch briefly on his Vietnam service. But when I saw the collection of medals, I recast my remarks. Now, I'm living on an island of particularly liberal bent, mostly. And so I was speaking to people who, many of whom had not served. In fact, most of whom had not served, I'm sure. That doesn't mean that they are any less noble. It doesn't mean that they are any less good people. It doesn't mean anything except that they had chosen not to take the route that Jay took for the time that he was in the Army, or the route that I took in my whole working life. So I did not know exactly the reaction or the response that I was going to get, but I didn't really care about that because it was important to me to recognize the significance of that service. And so I did. At the end of my remarks, there is always an end. I do get to the end eventually. There is always finally. When I finally got to the end of my remarks, there was some applause. I had obviously touched a part of many of these people that maybe they'd not ever had touched before. It was a significant thing for me to have that happen. And then what was even more significant was the people who came up to me afterwards. Conversations with people who heard things that about Jay that about which they had not known before. So, Raina, my dear, I am so grateful to you for having invited me. I am so grateful to you for having allowed me to give remarks about my friend, your husband. And I am particularly grateful to you for having allowed me to make the remarks that I did, tying together Jay, the person that he was, the friend that I honor, and tied it all together to that Purple Heart, that Bronze Star, that Air Medal, that Combat Infantry Badge. None of those things come as they do not come without having earned them. The Purple Heart does not come without having suffered. So I am enormously grateful to you. I am enormously grateful to Jay for his friendship, and especially in the last time and times of his life. I've gotten my COVID and flu shots. I make no representation here as to whether or not you may be one of those people that believes that this is something you don't need. So I leave it this way. I went up to the Vashon Pharmacy. I had made a booking, which is what you have to do on the island. I had made a reservation, and I marched myself up to the Vashon Pharmacy. And the lovely lady who administered them, one on the port side and one on the starboard side, turned out to be an old friend, someone with whom I had worked over the years with Vashon Community Care. So not only did I get the shots, not only am I convicted of the idea that I am now totally immune to both COVID and to influenza for this year, but I had the chance to have a short and pithy visit with an old friend who I'd not seen for some time. Life for me works that way. I had a time on YouTube confession here. Every now and then I falter and fail and fall. And something comes up on YouTube that I want to watch. So I was watching something that I in particular wanted to watch, and there was one that was in the panel right next to the one that I was watching, and the title of it was A Day in the Life of a Captain of a Great Lakes Freighter. And I thought, I am a captain in the Great Lakes. At the end of the winter that I broke ice with my north wind all over the Great Lakes, I could have written a pilot's exam for the St. Mary's River. I've been up and down it so many times. And I had moved 1,000-footers up and down the St. Mary's River and around the turns and over on the west side of Lake Erie where the water runs down where you only have a couple of inches underneath the bottom. So I thought, I am going to see what this person has to say. He's the captain of one of the Algoma fleet. Algoma is a steel-producing company and a shipping company in Canada. This captain, young, I would say young as in 45, maybe close to 45. Young to me. And he was the captain of one of the Algoma fleet. And this is a ship that would sometimes go into Duluth and pick up iron ore or salt or gravel or grain, whatever it was that the company wanted to move in bulk. And he would take it to, among other places, Chicago. And to get into his berth in Chicago, he has to navigate at least two or three tricky bridges. Working your way through bridges, for me, that is the Coast Guard Yard in Baltimore, where you have to bend the ship in the middle to get her lined up fair to get out of the yard pool. So I went into this thinking I'm going to hear all about careful seamanship, about ship handling, and I was once again doomed to disappointment. So this young captain is telling all of us what his challenges are as the commander of this ship, which is probably about maybe 600 feet long, 700 feet long. We're not talking about some little spit kit here. And so I'm waiting for this discussion of working this ship through the St. Mary's River, a part of the world with which I'm very familiar. And I know its hazards and I know its risks. But I was to be disappointed because his main concern was that his ship was running out of garbage bags. Now, Captain, I can teach you how to solve that problem. And should you be interested, you can send me a signal, and we'll have a come-to-the-captain session on basic logistics. Garbage bags. Well, I was scornful of that, of course, as you may imagine. No ship of mine ever ran out of garbage bags or anything else that she needed in order to make sure that the crew was properly cared for and fed. When we loaded Northwind to go to Antarctica, she was loaded for a year just in case she became beset. Every Friday we would, or every Monday, I would convene a meeting of all of my department heads and XO, and each one would report on how they were coming on the loadout. It became a tradition to tell me, knowing all of the department heads, knowing that I always sailed on time, that they would report, Captain, and what they would then tell me what the missing item was, Worry not. It's on order and it will be delivered on Friday. And it always was. I never sailed without everything I needed in order to carry out whatever that mission was. I never sailed without a full crew. I never left anybody behind. Nobody wanted to miss. What was Captain Joe going to do? Where is he going to take us? What adventures await us? So, young captain of this Algoma ship, I can teach you how to make sure that you never run out of garbage bags. So I thought that was enough. But even more was yet to come. He reported that he had received a signal from his agent in Chicago telling him that they were going to change out the chief cook. Now, personnel changes aboard ship happen all the time. They are the management responsibility to the captain in my ships by XO, and I would think in a merchant ship by one of the mates. Not so in this ship. Captain reports that once he had gotten this information that he went down to the galley himself. And he advised the incumbent chief cook that she was about to be relieved. And then he went on to say, and it's my job to arrange her transportation to get her back to her home port. Captain, in the same session where we talk about how you never run out of garbage bags, I will give you some ideas as to how you have delegation. How you delegate to somebody in your list of mates, such things as taking care of transport for crew members. Your job is to take care of that ship, to make sure that she is safely managed, to make sure that she is safely navigated, and when necessary, to take the con yourself. To take the con yourself to work through those bridges, to work her through the St. Mary's River, to work her places where she could come to mortal damage. And that is what I have to say about all of that. Today, 21 October, is Trafalgar Day in the United Kingdom. In 1805... HMS Victory, the flagship of Lord Nelson, and all of the ships that were part of that particular task force overcame the French and Spanish at Cape Trafalgar off of the coast of Spain. HMS Victory is the oldest ship still in commission. She is considered, even though she's up on the blocks in Portsmouth in the UK, in England, she is in commission. She has a commanding officer. She has a crew. And she flies the commissioning pennant of her commanding officer. She will never probably ever float again. But our Constitution is, in fact, still in commission. She's the second oldest. She's still in commission. She still floats. She has the commissioning pennant of her commanding officer. I think it's a wonderful thing that we keep these very old ships in commission as part of the fleet. So a well done to all of my colleagues in the Royal Navy in particular. My memory, I was not there at Trafalgar, but then neither were any of you, but our memories are as sharp today, should be as sharp today, of a victory well and honestly won. The 4th of November is Election Day here and all over this country. I have just completed my ballot. It took both of the voters' pamphlets for me to go back and forth to learn the qualifications of the various candidates, because for some of them, I didn't know who they were. And yet it's important to pick the best that we can, and we have to use, for example, the county executive for King County, of which the magical Isle of Vashon is an unincorporated part, is an elective post. And the long-term county executive has retired from that position and is now running the Sound Transit operation. A challenge and a half, if there ever was one. So we are electing a new county executive, and I did not know much about either of the candidates, and so it was to the voters' pamphlet. I have made my selection. I have completed the ballot. It goes into the ballot place where we deposit ballots. You can mail it. This is a mail-in state. There are no voting precincts anymore. And so I have completed the ballot, and I am telling this story today so that all of you who have yet to complete your ballot, and especially if it has fallen down behind the radiator, reach down there, pluck it out, fill it out, use black ink, and send it in. Whatever your voting system is in your particular jurisdiction, please do it. If there was ever a time in our political life, it is now that it is necessary that we elect the very best people that we can find to represent us. On this coming Saturday, I am taking Midori, my Cal 29, out for the first voyage under my command. My friend, colleague, and neighbor, Dr. Phillips from next door, the head of Mr. Yuckland, and on whose board I sit, will be my crew member. We're going to take her out, and we're going to shake out the jib for the first time under my command, and that big mainsail is going up. I'm going to see if I can get her out of the slip without using the engine, and even more to the point, get her back in the slip without using the engine. All of that we will see, and on all of that will I give a report next week. The Dutch freighter that we have been following up in the Northwest Passage has now been extracted from that pinnacle, but I do point out that that pinnacle is well charted, accurately charted, and it remains to be seen, of course, how she actually got up there. We will be following that particular story as the investigative report comes out. And I am in particular interested to see how she got up there and how they got her off without doing any further damage to the ship. She's in a shipyard now. I don't know exactly where she is, but she's in a shipyard where she is going to be repaired. I've got one more thing that I want to get in here, and that has to do with Notre Dame Cathedral. Notre Dame Cathedral now has finally, 6 years after the 12th century cathedral was devastated by fire, Notre Dame's twin towers have reopened to the public. I just read that from a page from one of my most favorite periodicals, The Week. And the completion of the work on the towers marks another major milestone in the restoration, which is due to be completed in 2028. Let's all get together and go to Paris and do a visit to Notre Dame. The Omega Watch is telling me that it is once again time for me to declare that we never say goodbye, that we say until we meet again. And as always, not only are all of you in the palm of my hand, but my words come out to you with all of the love and respect and regard that I can possibly muster. And this is, as always, your Captain Joe. I am on station and watching properly.